Friends, my sermon this morning is called Faith That Pleases God. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to have a seat? Well, it's great to be back from my epic vacation. I feel like Richard Nixon, who once famously said, "I'm tan, I'm rested, and I'm ready." That's how I feel as I'm coming back. Look how tan I am. Wow. Isn't that awesome? It'll be gone. I have these sandals that my daughter said I should get. And I was like, I've never paid $70 for a pair of sandals in my life. She said, "Dad, you should get them. They're called Keens." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Keens sandals. And they're like the best sandals. Because you can wear them inside, you can wear them outside, you can wear them in the sand, you can wear them at the pool. It's great. So they're like water shoes plus really good sandals. And so you should, I won't show you, so don't relax. But I have a super great Keen tan too, where the straps all meet. You know, I've had my sandals so much, right? So I have like little dots of sun where exactly where my Keens are. It's great. Rested, ready. We have a big summer, a big fall ahead of us. You can just take a look at the announcement and see all the things going on. This summer will require a lot of faith for us as a church. We are stepping out in faith in a lot of new initiatives. We're a fastly growing congregation, and the biggest thing, you know, is the starting of this new campus, the Independence Campus. You can see Father Andrew's update on that at the front of the bulletin. I ask you to pray for him and his family. They need a vacation too, just like I did, because we're both going to be on every week starting in September, whenever we launch the second campus over there on Custer and Independence. And so faith is required because we're doing new things. Some of you got the email about our youth minister, Jared Ferris. We're so happy for him and his wife, Andy. He got a job as a full-time. He was only working for us part-time. They got a full-time job as a youth minister at a Methodist church in Allen. We hate to see him go, but so we're going to have transition there. How do you handle all these change, these new stuff happening? It takes faith, right? And I wonder, where is your faith today? Is your faith high, or is it low, or is it in the middle, or do you have even thought about it? I drove back from South Padre Island on Friday, from South Padre to my mom's house in Lockhart, Texas. It's about a six-hour drive. And if any of you know where South Padre is, it's a very southern tip of Texas, just on the border of Mexico. And just outside of, there's like civilization in Padre and just outside of there, but then there's a big stretch where there's nothing, kind of until you get to Corpus Christi. So we're driving along and we're just about to leave civilization into that nothing stretch. And I look at the gas meter. And I'm a guy, right? So what do guys do? We think, we can make it. It's just like just under half a tank, like halfway between half a tank and, you know, I was like, yeah, it'll be good. So we drive that long stretch, and ever had one of those cars when it gets to the quarter of a tank, it like dives? That's what happened. So we're in the middle of nowhere, and the gas light comes on. Ding. And I'm like, and I'm driving, I'm thinking, when do I tell my wife? The gas light's on. So it's on, and so my girls notice. Everybody's freaking out. My girls are in the back finding on an app or something where the nearest gas station is. And we made it. So maybe that's you. Maybe your light is on. Your faith light is on. Maybe you're seriously low in faith. And you've come to church this morning saying, I just need a little dose of faith because I have stuff facing me this week that I need to believe God. I need God to be with me. So I'm come here to fill my tank. Others of you may say, hey, I'm at full. God is good. God is blessing me. Everything is awesome. But maybe there's some of you here that says, I need some faith. But let's talk about faith. Let's think about this faith for a second. What is faith for? We know what it is, right? I did the bit with the kids about, you know, it's relying, trusting. But what is the motivation for having faith? Have you thought about this? Is your faith in God about believing God will get you what you want when you want it? I need a new job. I have a sick friend or relative. I'm under relationship pressure. Lord, I need you to come and do something for me, and I'm going to believe, Lord, for you to do something for me. Is that what faith is? Is faith in God just, Jesus, give me? Or is faith more than that? Is it something more than that? I think that faith, if you take an expanded look at faith, faith ought to be something that pleases God. We ought to strive to have a faith that says, not just give me what I want, God, but let me please you, Lord, by believing in you. This passage that we read from Hebrews chapter 11 is probably the Bible's greatest passage on faith. So would you take that out? It's in your insert on the front page here, Hebrews chapter 11. Talk about pleasing God. Look there at verse 2. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. Note that this does not say received stuff. Is that, because sometimes that's what we think faith is about, receiving stuff. But faith, the biblical definition, is receiving approval, acceptance, pleasure from God. So what does a faith that pleases God look like? I want to take a look and show you three things in that. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Good. I haven't preached in 4 weeks, so my sermon is four times as long as it usually is. So make yourself comfortable. If you got to get up, it's okay. Just come back. All right, just kidding. Relax. It'll be fine. Three things, a faith that pleases God. First, seeing is not required. Seeing is not required in a faith that pleases God. Now let's go back and look at verse 1. This is probably the most famous verse in the Bible about faith. You know this verse? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. King James says the evidence of things not seen. Right? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Note, hope is an emotion, isn't it? I hope, I hope, I hope, I want, I want, I want. Right? I hope that this will work. Right? I hope this works out. I hope God is with me. I hope I get it, right? So faith is the assurance that you will receive something that you're emotionally invested in. But check out this second part, the conviction of things not seen, the evidence of things not seen. It's easy to have faith in things that are seen, right? Like the step, for example. I see it, and I can place my faith in it. That's easy. It's a little easier to place your faith in something that is not seen. And a lot of times, we have faith in only what we see. And we kind of like barter with God about faith. I'll believe in you if I'll believe it when I see it. And I wonder if that's how we are with God. A faith that sees is no better than the soldiers who were at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. Remember them? They called up and mocked Jesus and said, come down, save yourself, that we may see and believe. Right? If Jesus did for you the things that you want him to do, you know what would happen? You still wouldn't believe in him that way. Jesus, give me the lottery numbers and I'll believe in you. Well, no, you won't. You'll just be rich and a heathen instead of broke and a heathen. You know what I'm saying? The things that you want Jesus to do for you, they really won't move you in faith because that's not what faith is, right? Faith is that which is unseen. But the negative of this is also true, that I see this all the time, where I see people, things that terrible things have happened to them, disasters, fires, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, right? Famines. People see these things, and what do they ask? Where is God? I can't believe in a God who allows this to happen. Disease that strikes loved ones, friends, families, children, right? Addictions, just trouble. Horrible things happen in the world, do they not? Something bad is going to happen today, right? It visited our city while I was gone, right? How does God allow something like that? So they look at that and they see these terrible things that happen, and here's what they say. I see this bad thing, I see it, and because I see it, therefore God does not exist or God does not love me. I can't believe in a God, I can't have faith in a God that does what I'm seeing. So there's a positive faith by sight and a negative faith by sight. Do you see that? Say yes. But here's the thing I want you to get today. Listen to me carefully. Look up here at me. Listen. You have got to separate faith from sight. Separate faith from sight. Because look at this verse. Faith is the conviction of things not seen. For example, when we were gone on our vacation, we had a by faith trip and a by sight trip. Right? The by sight trip was the trip we just got home from this week to South Padre Island. We've been to South Padre Island probably 6 times as a family. It's like our favorite place. We go, just the 5 of us, right? We stay at the same place we always stay. We eat at the restaurants we always eat at. We have a favorite beach that we go to that we park our car at. We go to the same spot every time. We go on a turtle. We go to the turtle place at South Padre Island and look at the turtles that were there last year. Hey, how you doing? Right? We go on a dolphin tour with the same couple who always goes, who does it, right? And they're still there, and the dolphins are still there, and it's great. And it's predictable. It's by sight. Do we have to worry about anything? No, because it was exactly as we're always used to, right? That's the by sight trip. Then there was the faith trip, and the faith trip was the one Laurie and I took to celebrate our 25th anniversary, right? This is awesome. Yes, thank you. So 25 years of putting up with me, you get to go anywhere you want, Laurie. So that's what she wanted to do. She wanted to go to one of those all-inclusive places, you know. So you can imagine me, Father Mike. I'm at my desk, right? I'm calling up TripAdvisor and Expedia and all these places, and I'm reading reviews, and I want to go to the best place, right? And so I find this place, and the reviews are great. It's awesome. The service is incredible. The food is good. The location's beautiful. You'll feel safe. The rooms are beautiful. This is the greatest place. We've been back 5-10 years in a row. We love this. This is our favorite place. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, this sounds too good to be true. But it was, and I'm looking at the pictures and I'm going, looks pretty good. But have I been there? Haven't been there, right? I just got to take somebody's testimony for it, like people at TripAdvisor. I got to take their word for it, right? So I booked the place. Car pulls up, and we go in and walk. And it's the moment, you know, that moment, right? Because you've been in those places, right, where you read the reviews, and it's great, and you get there, and it's, oh, no. You're going to know in the first 30 seconds you're there, right? Listen, we walked in the door, y'all. The doors opened. It was like, and Laurie and I are going, yes. And the bellhop guy takes us to our room. We open the room, and it's like, Jesus loves me, this I know. It was great. It was great. Then we had this little spot on the beach, right? And they've got like the permanent little thatch umbrella things. And the man comes and puts towels on the cushion for you. And then, listen, my thing about going to places like that, if you can afford to go, you can afford to tip people, by the way, if you're on a trip like that. So I got a big old stack of $1 and $5 bills, so that anytime anybody ever did something for me, I paid them a little something. But guess what? Did they figure that out? Yeah. That's another reason why to do it, right? So Carlos, the guy that serves the beach chairs, knew us by name by the time we left. And we would show up, and Carlos would bring me my iced tea with 2 Splendas in it that he made just for me. It was great. Right? But that was by faith. I didn't get to have that experience unless I trusted in the TripAdvisor. Listen, what if we made church like TripAdvisor? Right? Because all of us, we're going on trips, aren't we? This life is a trip. Literally and figuratively. But listen here, listen to me careful. There is somebody in here that's already been where you're going. And you need to know them. And those of you who've been where these folks are going, you can be like TripAdvisor and say, Jesus was there for me. You can trust him. He provided for me. He comforted me in my grief. He was with me in that sleepless night. The Lord was there. You can believe in him. You can have faith in him. You may not see it now, but look at me and see I got through what it is that you've been through. You can trust in him, believe in him. Listen to me. Faith is not by sight. If you can see it, it's not faith, right? So faith, first, is Sight is not required. Second, seize the opportunity. Say that, seize the opportunity. Hebrews 11 is this great hall of faith, right? And the verses from 4 to 7 that are out of the lectionary, the writer of Hebrews tells stories of other great heroes of the faith. But the main one he's focusing in on here is Abraham. You remember Abraham, right? Father Abraham, how many sons? Many sons, that guy? Right, let's all praise the Lord. Father Abraham, why is Abraham an important father of the faith? He's called a patriarch of the faith, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? Abraham, it all starts with Abraham, right? Because God spoke to Abraham. And what did he say? Old man Abraham never had a son. Him and his old wife never had any children. He said, listen, I'm going to give you this land as a possession, and I'm going to give you descendants as the stars. His wife heard it and laughed. Ha, ha, ha. And God said, ha, guess what? You get to name your first child Isaac, whose name means laughter. Right? So anyway, and it's through Abraham that the line of Jesus comes. It's through Abraham that the whole people Israel come, right? And we are descendants of Abraham ourselves. How is that? Because we're spiritual children of Abraham. So that we're gathered together here, together in the name of Jesus Christ, right? We're right now fulfilling God's promise to Abraham because we're his descendants, right? So so Abraham is a father of the faith. And all Abraham did here is something that we can do. Because you may be thinking, that's Abraham. He was picked out by God. I'm not picked out by God to do anything. Well, hold on a second. All Abraham did was seize the opportunity to have faith when it was given to him. He has this encounter with God, and Abraham says yes to it and not no. Look at verse 8. It's the third verse in there. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. But that's the principle, right? He obeyed when he was called. He seized the opportunity to have faith. We have opportunities to have faith here as a church, don't we? If we start this Independence campus, right? And I love it that Abraham, if it says there in verse 8, he did not know where he was going. That comforts me greatly. Right? Should you too, if you've ever done something crazy for God. You don't have to know where you're going. You don't have to have done it before, right? Just go and watch the Lord bless you, right? Because we want to reach more people. We want to transform more lives with the love of Jesus Christ. So we're just going to set out and have faith. We're going to seize this opportunity that God has given us to do it. But I want to speak a special word to you, though, for some of you here. This may not be everybody, but it's somebody here. I know even if it's one person, this is for you. Some of you, maybe one or more people in you are in trouble right now. You have trouble in your life. Like things are upside down. You're all put together because it's church, and you're like, yes, good to see you. Oh, things great. Praise the Lord. But you know inside your heart, it's like you got stuff going on. Things are a little fruit basket turnover. Trouble in your life, hear me, is an opportunity for you to seize so that you might have faith. Look at trouble as a way to believe God. Look at trouble as a way to move forward toward Jesus, not away from him. Look at what Abraham does there in verse 10. For he looked forward, Abraham did, to a city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He says, I'm headed towards you, God, not towards my own plan for my life. I could have gotten scared and gone back home, but he says, no, I'm staying forward. Am I making sense up here? Say yes. This hall of fame of people that made it in Hebrews 11, if you want to be a hall of fame faith type of person, listen, the only way you get to be in the faith hall of fame is if you go through something. Maybe you know what it's like to have panic, pressure, heartache, disappointment. Maybe you know what it feels like to be betrayed. That was one of my best friends. I can't believe they're saying this about me. Maybe you know what it's like to have a sleepless night where you just can't get the worry tapes to stop playing in your brain. Anybody be there? You don't have to raise your hand. Just raise your eyebrow at me. You know what I'm talking about. These are the times, listen, where it's easy to turn away from Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, use it. Seize the opportunity to have faith. Turn towards him, not away. Because who knows if God isn't bringing you those things in your life so that you might know him and trust him better. Here's the third and final thing. Take a long perspective. Say that. Take a long perspective. This is what you got to do with a faith that pleases God. Look at verse 13. I love this verse. Some of you, though, aren't going to like it so much. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. Right? Abe didn't get to see it. None of those guys that are listed in Hebrews 11 got to see what God promised them they would do for them. What if God came and spoke to you and said, I'm going to do this great thing through you? You'd be like, yes, I'm going to be famous for Jesus. But what if he told you you're not going to see it? Would you be okay with that? Listen, I'm okay with that. I mean, what God is going to do through St. Andrew's, the fullness of it, the vision for our church, man, I'm going to be hanging out with Abraham by the time lots of that comes to pass. And is that okay? Yeah, yeah. But just think how different that verse 13 is from what modern American Christianity is. Because listen, there's preachers in pulpits all over America that are saying things like this. You want Jesus to bless you. Amen. Have faith. If you have faith, Jesus will bless you. Then they'll say stuff like, well, if you don't get what you want when you want it, keep on having faith, because God's timing isn't our timing, and you may not get it when you want it, but in God, he's always right on time, goes the bit, right? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, right? Late in the midnight hour, God's going to turn it around. It's going to work in your favor. Just have faith. Now, I'm not saying that isn't true, because listen, I've believed and received things. Yes, I have. You're sitting in a building that I believed God for, and he gave it to us, right? It's absolutely true. You got to have faith for that, right? And I've actually received a blessing that wasn't in God's, that God's timing was crucial. I didn't get it when I wanted it, but God sent it to me in his timing. That is also true. I'm living proof of that. But here's the thing, though. Listen to me. That isn't what faith is, though. Me getting something, right? You got to take a long perspective, because Abraham's focus, listen to me, wasn't here, it was there. I think that's the big difference. We're looking here, trusting Jesus for this, when really our eyes got to be focused up where he is. Do you know what I think, beloved? I don't think we talk about heaven near enough. Because listen, we're just passing through here. This stuff is not what it's all about. What it's all about is being with him, being rewarded by him eternally, the forever. I'm talking about the long perspective. Right? Check out what it says. Verse 13. See that? The rest of verse 13. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. That's how we ought to feel. We don't belong here. This is not where we're citizens of. We're strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way, make it clear that they're seeking a homeland. That homeland is in heaven. Abraham died with the promise unfulfilled. Listen, faith is its own reward. What an awesome God is. Do you believe with me that God is great? God is awesome. The eternal God of the universe, right? You can have faith in him. You can believe in him. You can know him enough to where you can believe in him. He will draw near to you as you draw near to him. Think of that you get the right, the privilege to have faith in Almighty God. Isn't that something? Is this microphone on? Isn't that something? Have you ever thought of that? What a privilege it is that you can have faith. You get to have faith in God. Now, it'd be one thing if we just said, let's all worship the lectern. Oh, lectern, you are great. Great are you, lectern. Lectern's not going to come. I'm talking about God, not the lectern. We can create something and make it and worship it and trust in it. But I'm talking about God who's going to come through. You get to know that. Listen, faith is its own reward. There's two different ways to go through life. Looking down, Jesus, bless me. I need this. I need that. I need it. I need it. I need it. Give me, give me, give me. Or, Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I want to draw closer to you. Would you please come closer to me? Lord, I believe in you. I trust in you. I worship you today. Help me, God, just to be faithful in whatever it is you put in front of me to do today. Lord, you said if I seek first the kingdom, all these other things will be added to me. So, Lord, I seek you first before any other thing. Isn't that a much better way to go through life? It's a faith that pleases us versus a faith that pleases God. So I want to challenge you today. This is your day. You can seize the opportunity that Jesus is giving you to have faith today. Whatever's going on in your life, it's a chance God has given you to believe and trust in him. It is not about seeing. And where are your eyes focused? Is it down here on the stuff, or is it up to where you're headed? Don't forget to take the long perspective. God is faithful. He's good. Jesus, we believe in you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you like to stand?